Just about every problem that we have with our horse has its source somewhere in misunderstanding, fear and or confusion. That's no exaggeration. Just about every problem. While you're practicing getting good at your inner guidance system, it's good to have an intellectual understanding of the different ways that horses behave when they're afraid or confused. We call this the six F's. Some horses flee. That's the horses who run away. Very many horses tend to run away or try to when they're afraid or confused. They spook, they shy, they jig out on the trail, they go faster and faster, they even bolt. They spin around trying to go home, and this is just a tiny list of what they can do. And most humans don't enjoy any of those things, so we apply all kinds of gadgets to prevent that from happening. It's as if the gadget itself is going to make us safe. I wonder how that's working for all those way too many people who have accidents on horses that have the insurance industry considering that horse riding is the most dangerous hobby of all. Anyway, if you think about all the badly behaved horses that you've seen, I think you'll notice that those gadgets and the way that they're used to stop the horse from running away when they're scared or confused are the actual root cause of even worse behavior, like bucking, rearing, pig rooting, just as a small handful of examples. Maybe even the biting and kicking stuff. Nobody likes to be misunderstood. And all this happens simply because when the horse can't run away from what they're afraid or confused about, they have to express their fear or confusion in some other way. And that is usually much more antisocial to the human. In fact, as you start to pay attention to this, I think you're going to notice how many simple problems are also caused by fear and or confusion and by the horse being unable to get away from the causes of that fear and confusion. So how do we fix these problems? Don't you hate it when someone says there's a simple solution? You've already been working on that in this program. Back off and take the pressure off them when they're afraid or confused, and they won't have to try and run away. With this gentle philosophy, even a novice rider can develop a beautiful relationship where the horse can learn to look after you too, as you look after them. When you follow your good feelings and use your early warning signal that something is not quite right and take action on it, like we talked about in that earlier lesson, then you can notice your horse's fear and confusion long before they have it expressed in their body language. It gives you a chance to do something about it before something bad even happens. When you wait for your horse to lick and chew, that will give them time to think through what you're looking for, and that dramatically reduces the opportunity for confusion. Plus, it gives them time to release old brain pathways, to release old stress and trauma that are having them react in fearful ways that are not so useful to you and them either now, like we talked about in the lesson about profound healing. Did you notice that you now have a very simple way to help a horse change their fearful habits? And do you realize what a big deal that is? Excellent. Then we come to our next F horse. Some horses fight. When my horse Sunny arrived, she had a natural instinct to use her teeth and feet when she was afraid, and she used them pretty easily to both bite and kick, and crikey, she was fast. That kind of behaviour wasn't something I was used to. I didn't enjoy it. There's that Aussie understatement again. And it was quite unsafe. Another understatement. As I worked with her, following the good feelings and using not quite right for change, developing our relationship, her behaviour got better and better. Actually, I learned a whole new depth of inner guidance with Sunny because my safety depended on it. At one point in my work with her, she released the incident that exaggerated that strong fight pattern. I'll tell you the house story another day. But she showed us how she was a tiny foal and she was cornered in a stable and the halter was wrestled on for the first time, she fought like crazy, and it exaggerated that fight pattern that she already had. In fact, because of this event happening in the first 2 days of her life, it imprinted a brain pattern of bite and kick and defend yourself first and think later. I knew we had done a good job helping her to release those dangerous habits when one day I was walking past the rear end of my caretaker horse, Bobby, dozing under a tree. We'll talk more about caretakers in a minute. And I noticed a biting, annoying botfly hovering around his hocks. So I put a hand up on his butt, smooched to warn him I was there, and slapped his hock to kill the fly. And Sonny, startled, leapt away from me at 100 miles an hour. In the moment, I had mistaken whose big chestnut butt it was. It wasn't Bobby's, it was Sonny's, who I would never have treated so casually. In fact, treating her like that a week earlier would probably have got my head kicked off. I know that if someone pushed her far enough, that she's still a natural fighter. It's part of what will make her a really good mother. But it's no longer boiling away on the surface, and it's no longer a danger to me and others. Then we've got our fidget horses. Sue next door has a young horse called Will, who is one of those horses who fidgets when he's afraid or confused. It can be very annoying if you don't understand that it's his expression of feeling overwhelmed. He moves around and fiddles with things, chews the rope, nips at whoever's near him. And a nip that gets you, even a playful nip, is a bite that hurts, and that is not okay with me. He's like a big, gawky teenager who doesn't know what to do with himself, shuffling around being a pain in the neck. The thing to understand with horses like Will is that he is overwhelmed. He's afraid or confused, and like all the other horses who express their fear and confusion in different ways to him, we need to back off, take the pressure off him, and wait for him to lick and chew. So think about it. If we punish one of these fidgeting horses for nipping, for example, then we're punishing them for being afraid or confused. What kind of a relationship would that give us, to punish a horse for their fear or confusion? You can't see my eyebrows raised into my hairline, but I hope that you can hear it from the tone of my voice. If you don't back off, slow down, break things down into baby steps, or do whatever it takes to help a horse not be afraid or confused, then you are adding pressure to fear or confusion. And adding pressure to fear or confusion can only create more fear and confusion. And how are they going to deal with that? You're going to get behaviours that you really don't want. Then we have our faint horses. Some horses actually really do faint. I've personally never come across a horse who faints when they're overwhelmed with fear, thank goodness, but I have actually heard of a couple. I don't like to think of horses as victims, but to think of a horse fainting with fear is quite shocking to me, especially when it's easily and simply solved by systematically listening to our horse and using our early warning signal to respond to fear and confusion in its early stages. Here's my favourite topic, the freeze horses. I call these the caretaker horses. There are a whole heap of incredibly generous horses in all kinds of different breeds who are the caretaker horses. Caretaker horses tend to look after us and our kids before they look after themselves. You can often recognise one of these horses by the fact that they could be going forwards better. If you have a horse that you think needs you to carry a stick, a whip or spurs to go forward properly, then I expect that you have a very precious, natural caretaker horse. Caretaker horses can be found in any breed, but there are many breeds who tend to be caretakers too. Lots of Warmbloods, Connemaras and Morgans come into this category. This story about our tiny miniature Blondie tells us more about caretakers. But while you're listening to this, I suggest that you all pay special attention to the signs and symptoms of a caretaker horse. Blondie was one of the scaredest horses I've ever met, right up there in the top 10. And because of what I do for a living, I've met a lot of scared horses. But many people wouldn't have noticed how scared she was, because Blondie is that precious, precious horse who stops when they're afraid or confused. And that personality trait made her just perfect for looking after my tiny granddaughter. Picture it, folks. When a plastic bag suddenly blew across her path, she jumped a little bit and then she stopped and kept Bree safe. When the dog rushed up behind her, she jumped a little and then stopped and kept Bree safe. When someone lifted an umbrella, came up to her with a pram, crept up behind her with a push bike, frightened her with the loud roar of a motorbike, all of these things, she stopped and kept Bree safe instead of running away. Her general behaviour is to stop, freeze, and not go forwards until she and her rider are all good again. Isn't that just the most perfect personality trait for our beginners or our nervous riders, or even just as we get older and the ground gets harder to fall on? And what do we do with these incredibly generous and precious horses when we don't understand what's happening? We crack them over the butt with a whip. Get that horse moving. Make her do it. She's just being stubborn. We tell the kids to kick that pony up. We use spurs on those glorious horses to drive them forwards. We can't have it both ways. If we want horses with personality traits generous enough to look after us and our children easily, then we have to deal with them gently when they stop, freeze, or won't go forwards properly. We have to deal with them from the knowledge that they're afraid or confused or looking after us, not pig-headed, stubborn, or being a bad horse. I've seen horses and ponies with their minds broken by being misunderstood in this way. Their personality trait is to stop when they or their rider are afraid or confused or unsteady, and they've had the stop beaten out of them. And when this happens, they can't look after their person anymore. I've made plenty of mistakes with Blondie, but generous little soul that she is, she's forgiven all of them. I've gone bulldozing through her fear threshold too hard, too fast, and too often, because it's way too easy to do that when a horse is as generous as she is and stands still when she's afraid. Here's something that's incredibly important. It's just as important with these horses to help them feel safe with all kinds of things as it is with the horses who run or fight when they're afraid. We need to help them find their comfort zone with all kinds of things that they're going to see and experience either routinely or as they get out and about and meet more scary things. Maybe it's even more important with these horses because it's way too easy for us to leave them in fear or confusion. You can tell caretaker horses are my passion. My Bobby, the horse that's responsible for starting this whole thing, is a monumental caretaker horse. This is about the warrior horse, but we'll call them fierce just to keep with the F theme. Orion is a magnificent black Frisian, capable of fulfilling every black stallion fantasy you've ever had. He and his owner Angela came to us at Tangle South for a private clinic. He came in despite vast amounts of expensive training from some very talented trainers to work on his chronic barging. A barger is a horse who barges into your space, crowds you, even pushes you physically out of the way. And pushing was something that Orion did very well. And if you've ever been on the receiving end of this kind of behavior, you'll know that it's not pleasant and it's not safe. We thought at first that this was a clear question of unacceptable behaviour and that the solution would be to figure out how far away we wanted him, ask him gently and consistently to keep his distance and to enforce that. As Angela worked with Orion, establishing clear boundaries that this barging was unacceptable, we had a moment of enlightenment that changed the way we saw everything, and I wonder where that came from given we were connected to him at the time. We realised that the more pressure we had to put on him to stand office, the more he went into the oh shit zone. And the more he went into the oh shit zone, the harder he came barging through us. More simply put, the harder we tried to stop him, the harder he came barging through us. This was so dangerous. Our big realisation was that Orion was simply afraid, and he had been bred to push through when he was afraid. Orion is a Frisian. He's from a long line of war horses who have been bred for hundreds, if not thousands, of years for their ability to keep doing whatever they were trained for, even when they were terrified. I can almost see them now, battle lines of these war horses moving forwards through the noise and the cannon fire and the smoke, afraid, but using those massive chests to just barge through whatever was in the way. This was such a useful trait in a warhorse that they selectively bred for it. To stop him when he was really afraid, we had to be incredibly and physically hard on him, which was not who either Angela or I wanted to be, and I don't expect he enjoyed it too much either. Nor was it okay for him to keep coming into us or through us. It wasn't safe. But it wasn't rocket science once we understood where he was coming from. The solution was in his deep comfort zone. We helped him find his deep comfort zone by listening to our feelings of fear, his fear that we were feeling as if it was our own. And we felt this fear when he did, which was before he started barging at us. We listened to his fear when it was the first tiny feelings of not quite right, which came long before he needed to act on that fear and barge over the top of us. Each time we felt that not quite right feeling, no matter what we were doing, we stopped, backed off, and waited for him to lick and chew. It was the combination of acting on our feelings of not quite right and looking for very small progress at a time that made it possible for Orion to find his deep comfort zone. Now, here's a really important part. There were very long periods of time waiting for the chew and lots of breaks where we took his halter off and walked away and had to leave him alone altogether to find the comfort zone again because he didn't have a comfort zone with people at all. Pay special attention to that because that's a big concept just slipped in there. Because of all the forceful training that was trying to stop him from coming through people, he actually didn't have a comfort zone with people at all anymore. From that insight, Angela continued to expand Orion's comfort zone systematically. And even though back then she was a green rider and Orion was a young green horse, he was amazingly cooperative with her all the way to riding when the time for them both was right. Because they were both green, sometimes it wasn't the right timing. But isn't it wonderful that she could hear him and keep herself safe by paying attention to that? So what do you think? Which of these types of horses describes the way that your horse has been acting lately? I expressed it like that because I suggest that you don't get hooked into defining your horse too much. They can change in the moment. A caretaker can get a fright big enough to make them run, and Sunny, my fight horse, like most horses indeed, wants to learn how to take care of people. It's just that she can't do that when she's afraid or confused or misunderstood. There's a big warning that comes with this horse personality stuff. It's really useful to understand the different behaviours, but don't allow this to take you out of the moment. Don't allow this knowledge to take you out of your feel for your horse in this moment. Treating them the same way all the time will mean that you won't be using your feel. And if you don't use your feel, you would be missing out on all those wonderful opportunities for a greater bond together and a better outcome.